Begin the current daf Masechtas Yuma daf Ayin Ches. Begin 9 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara was qualifying one of the Chamisha Inuyim of the 5 afflictions that we have to do on Yom Kippur is Rechitza, is to abstain from washing oneself. And that the Gemara in the previous daf explained that although washing is forbidden, however, when one's intention is not for pleasurable activities, for example, if one is on his way to visit his Rebbe, his father, and he has to walk through a river or stream, he's allowed to even up till his neck in water because that's not what he's coming to do rechitza. And hence, it's permitted on Yom Kippur to walk through that water on the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur. Now, the Gemara continues in the parentheses where it says, Teinach Yom Kippurim Delekei Minol. So Rashi says, actually, we're not gairis this because the word teinach generally connotes that there's some type of a question. And here it's not anything problematic with what we're saying, but the point of the Gemara is that we understand the Yom Kippurim, we said in the previous daf, one is allowed to walk through water on the Yom Tov of Yom Kippurim because you're not wearing shoes. And so what would be the problem of walking through? The fact that you're getting wet, but since that's not your intention, it's just to, it's on your journey, therefore there's no problem of the Inu of Rechitza. However, Shabbos, the Ikka Minol Mai, but on Shabbos, when you're wearing shoes, what's the halacha then? Is one permitted to walk through water, to walk through, for example, a stream of water on Shabbos? Or maybe are we going to say that we're concerned that maybe one's shoe is going to fall off and then he might come to carry it, Dalet Amos, Four Amos, and Rosh Hashanah, and that's one of the Lamates Malachas on Shabbos. Maybe then it would be forbidden. Yom Kippurim, you're not wearing shoes, so there's no problem about the shoes falling off when you're walking through the river. So I'm Nechemya Chasne de Ben Nasir. So Nechemya, the son-in-law of the Nasi, he said, Anocha Zite L'Rabami V'Rabasi, I saw these two Tamid HaChacham, Dematu Urkum Demaya, that they came to a pool of water, Vavru Derech Malbush, and they went through the water on Shabbos with wearing all their clothing, including their shoes. And therefore you see that on Shabbos even, one is allowed to walk through the water, where yes, of course, there's no problem about the Inuyim or Brechitza. However, there would be the question about wearing one's shoes if it's going to fall off when you're walking through. We see that they weren't concerned with that. So on that, the Gemara asks, so Teinach Minol. So very well, we know that on Shabbos, one's allowed to wear his shoe when he's walking through the water. Sandal, however, what's with a sandal where you, that's not so tight and knotted on one's foot as a shoe is? Michael Amema, what are you going to say over there? Maybe wearing a sandal which is open and that could fall off more likely when you're walking through the water. Would that be forbidden on Shabbos or not? Some Rav Chumi says, he saw again a similar type of araya. Ano chazite l'ravina. The other Derech Malbush, I saw Ravina that he walked through wearing all his clothing, including sandals, on Shabbos through the water, and therefore we see we're not even concerned for the sandal falling off when you're walking through the water. However, Rav Asher, he says sandal l'ketchila. You know, he says no. He argues on this incident and he says that a sandal l'ketchila initially it's forbidden and one's not allowed to walk through it on Shabbos because it might fall off, it might come to carry it. Now the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this halacha. That Resh Galusa Iklal Hagrunya, the Resh Galusa who was in charge basically of all the Jews in the exile in the Gulf of Bavel, he went to Hagrunya, Labei Rav Nosson, to the house of Rav Nosson, and he went to spend Shabbos there. So Rafram Vekuli Rabban Osla Pirka, so Rafram and all the Rabban, they came to the Drasha that the Resh Galusa was giving a lecture on Shabbos. Ravina Loyasa, however, Ravina didn't come. Lamacher, so the following day, Bayi Rafram Lafuki La Ravina Midaitid Resh Galusa. So Rafram wanted to avoid the Resh Galusa being upset at Ravina why he didn't come to the lecture and everyone else, all the other rabbis came to the drasha. So Amaleser, Rafram said to Ravina by way of appeasing the Resh Galusa, he says, "My time, Aloy Osa Marla Perka, why didn't you come to the lecture?" So Amalei, have a koivli kari. He said, "Look, my foot was hurting me, that's why I wasn't able to come." So he boy loch lemesa misani, but you should have put on shoes, then that would pad your feet and you wouldn't be injured when you're walking. But he said, Gaba the Karhava, it was the top of my foot that was turning. Actually, putting on shoes is going to be tight on the top of my foot. It's going to hurt even more. But then he says, Iboy look la mirma sandala. But look, you should have worn sandals, which are wider, and they're not tight on the top of the foot. And then you could have walked to the lecture. So Malaysa Ravina responded to him and says, look, or koma de maya have a borcha, but there was a pool of water on the road, and therefore I couldn't have gone. So he says, what do you mean? Boy luch lamavri, derech malbush, you should have walked through wearing your clothing and your sandals. And again, then you would have avoided your foot getting hurt. And you could have gone through that way, through the pool of water. So Malay, to that, Ravina responded, what do you mean, lois of Amar, don't you hold of Lahad Amar Ravashi? The Ravashi had said that we quoted before the sandal ketchilalai, that one's not allowed to initially wear sandals through a pool of water. And that's why I didn't come to the lecture, because although that would be an option, ketchila, one's not allowed to do that. Again, this story illustrating the halacha, that a sandal, we are concerned that if it's going to wear it through the pool of water, it's going to fall off and might come to carry that on Shabbos. Now the Gemara resumes what the discussion of the previous stuff was talking about regarding rechitza, the halachas of the inui, the affliction of not bathing oneself on Yom Kippur. So Tani Yehuda bar Gregris, he learned that asur leishiv agabi tinim Yom Kippur. One is not allowed to sit on mud on Yom Kippur, and that's the reason is because the moisture of the mud is actually pleasurable, which is very close to the pleasure of bathing oneself. That moisture that one gets is pleasure, and hence that's forbidden, like rechitza on Yom Kippur. However, Amar B'Shuv ben Levi, B'Shuv ben Levi qualifies this, and he says, "Upatina mitapachas." It has to be that the mud is mud that it exudes, that there is some moisture that would comes out of it, and hence that's the pleasure. But if it's hard, dry mud, then there's no problem. Amar Abaye qualifies this even more. He says, "Upatefech amanas latfech." It has to be moist, that if it what touches something else would then make the other thing after that moist. That's how moist it has to be. Then it's considered close to rechitza. But if not, if you touch it, that it's moist, but you don't get moist when you're touching it to give it over to something else, that wouldn't be enough to make it usser like rechitza. However, although one is not allowed to touch something which gives moisture and cools off the person like bathing, which would be even applicable to mud, Amar Rav Yehuda, but mutar litzdan b'peir. So a person could cool himself off with different fruits. Rabbi Yehuda, for example, mitzdan b'kara, he would cool himself off with squash. Rabbi mitzdan b'nuka, he would cool himself off with this little baby who they're very fresh and cool, and that's how he would cool himself down. Rabbi mitzdan b'kasa de kaspa, Rabbi would cool himself down by holding a silver cup. However, Amar Papa, kasa de kaspa moli aser, a full cup that's filled to the top with water is forbidden to cool oneself off with the outer part of that silver cup. And the reason is because maybe the water is going to spill on his skin, and hence he'll be doing rechitza because his intention is for pleasurable things. However, chasashari, however, when it's lacking, when it's not full to the top, then we're not concerned that it's going to spill out, and therefore then you're allowed to hold the silver cup to cool off with the outside, and we're not concerned then that it's going to spill on the person. However, the pachra, if it's an earthenware vessel, then idvi aser, then no matter what type of cup, even if it's not a full cup, it would still be forbidden. And the reason is because mishum de mishchel shachel. That's because the water that's in the inside of the vessel, even though we're not concerned that it's going to spill through the rim, through over the top, but it gets absorbed into the walls and that comes through on the other side. Hence, when you're cooling yourself off by holding that earthenware cup to you, you're actually getting some of the moisture from inside coming through the walls of the earthenware cup, and therefore would be forbidden even if it's not full to the top. Rav Ashi argues on what we just said of Rav Papa. He says, Kasa de kaspa chaser nami aser. A silver cup, even not filled to the top, is also forbidden. And the reason is, Mishum nimizdarif, because a silver cup is very slippery, and it could slip out of his hand, and then the water could still spill even if it's not full to the top. And that is Rav Papa said, look, if it's full to the top, it's very easily that it could spill over the top. That we're concerned, but when it's not full, then we're not. And this, Rav Ashi saying that no, even if it's not full, it's a very slippery cup, and hence it could slip out and pour all over him, and therefore even if it's not full to the top, it would be forbidden to cool oneself off with a silver cup that has some liquid inside of it. Now the Gemara brings a story related to these halachas, that Zeir Bar Chama, he was Ushpezichnin, he was the host of the Rab Ami, Rab Asi, Rab Shub ben Levi, but the Kul Rabban, the Kisar Havan, for all the Rabban of Kisaria, all of them, he would host them. So Amalei L'Rishiv Bered Rabbi Shub ben Levi. So he said to those sons of one of those people that he had hosted, that is Rabbi Shub ben Levi's son, Rabbi Yosef, he said, Bar Arya, literally son of a lion, in other words, Talmud Chacham, To'eim aloch milsa mal yasad haver avar avach. Come here, I'm going to tell you an amazing thing that your father used to do. He said, Metpachas, he would have a kerchief, Ha'yulei be'er Yom Kippur. He had on the day before Yom Kippur, V'sheres b'mayim, he would soak the kerchief in water. Now, and then he would dry it out like a dried out garment. And the following day, he would use it to wipe off his hands and his feet and his legs. So it wasn't wet anymore, hence he wasn't being over on rechitza, but he would do it in such a way that it would moisten the garment, and that was enough for it to be used in the application of wiping his hands and his face and his feet the following day on Yom Kippur. Now, Erev Tisha B'Av, on the day before Tisha B'Av, Shoyro Isa B'Mayim, he would soak it in water. Ulamachar Mavir Agabeyin, and the next day, he would then put it over his eyes, where then it was still a little bit moist. Regarding Tisha B'Av, he didn't say that he squeezed it totally out. It was a little bit moist because of what he had soaked the day before. However, it wasn't the problem of one's not allowed to bathe on Tisha B'Av. However, Yom Kippurim, he would actually go ahead and actually squeeze it out and dry it out before Yom Kippurim. The Gemara says, "V'chein ki asa Rabbi Bamari Omar." He also said the same type of idea what Rabbi Shuvan Levi did. He said, "The be'erv Tisha B'Av mevin lematpachas." On the day before Tisha B'Av, they would bring him this kerchief. V'shayu esav b'mayim, would soak it in water. U'manicha tachas merashayisav, he would put it underneath his head. U'lamachem mekaneich panav yad ragav, and the following day he had it around his head, where he would then wipe his face, his hands, and his feet with it. But every Yom Kippurim, however, every Yom Kippurim also mavin lematpachas, they would bring him a kerchief. V'shayu esav b'mayim, he would soak in water. However, isa kimin kein neguvim, there he did an added thing, as we just said before, where he would then dry it out. U'lamachem avir agabe inav, and then the following day he would use it to wipe away his eyes, where you have the mucus there. So that's what he would do. He would prepare beforehand so that it wouldn't be a violation of brechitza. However, he had it that it would still be something that wouldn't be so harsh, the garment, by way of soaking it the day before. Now, Amalei Rav Yaakov, Rabbi Yimri bat Tachlifa, he said, Ipchet Amrtlan, you told us the opposite. And that is regarding Tisha B'Av, you said that he did it, that he would dry it out first, and then he would use it to wipe on Tisha B'Av. But regarding Erev Yom Kippurim, you didn't say that he would dry it out. And that is, he would soak it and it would dry out by itself, but it was still a little bit moist on Yom Kippurim. V'isiv nach schita, but yet we refuted your opinion of the version of what Rabbi Shuvan Levi did, because of on Yom Kippurim, one might come to squeeze out that little bit of moisture that there is inside of that kerchief. And although that wouldn't be a problem, that little moisture that there is possibly because of rechitza, but there would still be the problem of malabin, which is one of the lamates malachas of when you squeeze out a garment, it's considered whitening because it's a form of laundering, which is a problem of being malabin, of whitening it, of cleaning out the dirt that's inside of it. Hence, we said that regarding these two versions, it makes sense not like the way you did, but rather the two versions the Gemara just brought down before, that regarding Erev Yom Kippurim, he would soak it and he would squeeze it out. He'd basically make it like totally dry, except that the garment was now soft and moist, but there wasn't actually any moisture of like liquid inside of it, because in Yom Kippurim you have the added concern of schita. Erev Tisha B'Av, he would soak it and let it dry by itself, so therefore there wasn't any moisture for the sense of having rechitza, but there still was some liquid inside of it that if one squeezed, it would come out, and hence, because by Tisha B'Av there's no problem of malachas as there is by Yom Kippurim. Now, the Gemara continues, Amr Rav Nashi bat Tachlifa, Amr Rav Amram, Amr Rabba bar Barachana. Says that Shalues Rabbi Laza, they asked Rabbi Laza, and that's Rabbi Laza ben Pedas, they asked him regarding the following Shaila, and that is the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Hei Manav tells us that a Chacham, a wise man, is not allowed to permit a Bechayr, a firstborn animal, if he's an individual. And that is, if let's say there's halacha regarding a mum. A Bechayr is forbidden to be utilized for personal usage, which the Kohen gets the firstborn, unless there's a blemish. Now, the only way a yachid could go ahead and judge that and adjudicate and say, look, this has a mum, as a professional, as a chacham that he is, he's allowed to say that, only if he gets permission first from the nasi, from the prince of the Jewish people, at least one time. And then from then on, he's allowed to go ahead and decide these halachas by himself and permit it for the kohen that has in his possession to say, look, it has a blemish, now it's not. It doesn't have to be brought on the Mizbeach, which now, today's day, there's no Mizbeach anyway. And you can go ahead and use it for your personal usage. Now, the question was that the Esther Belaza was Zakin B'Yesha B'Yeshiva, regarding an elderly Talmud Chacham that sits on the Sanhedrin. Tzarech Litul Roshos L'Hat B'Chayrus, does he also need permission to permit the firstborns? Or maybe he doesn't need permission. And now the reason why the Gemara is introducing this question over here is because the Gemara wants to say that then they asked another question from Elazar ben Pedas, which was regarding a halachas of going out with a certain type of sandal on Yom Kippur. However, this was the first question they asked him. Although we know that a chacham, a regular individual, for him to permit Bechairis to say that this is considered a blemish and you can use it, that is something that has to have permission from the Nasi at least one time. Does that apply even to someone that sits on the Sanhedrin? Or maybe someone that sits on the Sanhedrin does not need permission from the Nasi. So now the Gemara asks, Maikame Bailhu, what was the question that they asked of Rabbi Laza? What is exactly were the two sides of the question? And that the Gemara says, Hachikame Bailhu. The question was as follows. Kihad Amr Rav Ida bar Avin. Like Rav Ida bar Avin said, that Dabar Zeh, this whole principle of requiring a chochem to get permission first from the nasi before he's allowed to say that this is an animal that's considered blemish, was hinichu lehem lebeinisia kedeles gadabai. They left this under the dominion, the authority of the household of the nasi, as a way of them becoming great, because you see that you need to have permission from the nasi. Obviously, they're the leaders of the Jewish people. And therefore, tzorch litl rishus. Therefore, maybe even someone on the Sanhedrin needs permission before he goes ahead and he matters a mum on a bechayr. Oidim, or maybe they know. Kivin ezakim yeshub yeshiva, although that was the utility of getting permission, but someone that's an elderly tamachachem, a gadol hadar, whatever, he sits on the Sanhedrin, ain't tzorch, maybe he does not need permission from the nasi. That was the question. So Amar Reb Tzadik ben Chalukal Raglov of Amar. So he got up on his feet and he said, so Aniri Isias Reb Yosef ben Zimmer, I saw Reb Yosef ben Zimmer, who shezakim v'yeshu v'yeshiva, he was an elderly tamachachim who would sit on the Sanhedrin, v'amad b'mayla mezikna shalzen, he stood in front of the grandfather of the nasi of our generation, v'notel rishus lahat b'chayis, and he took permission to permit b'chayis. Obviously you see from that incident that even a zakim v'yeshu v'yeshiva needs permission before he goes ahead and permits a b'chayir. Amalei Rebabas, Rebaba told him, he says, no, loika chayimaisa, that was not the story. There's no proof from that at all. Because Elakacha Yemaisa, the incident went as follows. Rabbi Yisim ben Zimra, Koyin Hoya. He was actually a Koyin. V'hochikam Eboyli. And what he asked him was the following question. He wanted to know, Halacha Kriya Meir? Does Halacha follow Kriya Meir? The Amad that he says, Hachashid Bedavar, regarding someone that suspected regarding this area of Halacha. And that's regards that Kahanim are considered suspicious regarding deciding a blemish on the firstborn to say that what's forbidden is permitted. Because they're even suspected that they actually would create a blemish in an animal. And the reason is, because a firstborn animal, bizman hazen, today's day and age, when we don't have a mizbeach, we don't have a beis hamikdash, there's no way of rectifying, of using the bechar, unless it has a blemish. Now, what that means is, when the kohen gets their firstborn animal, he has to hold on to it, he has to feed it, he has to safeguard, he has to expend so much expenses and resources to take care of the animal, and therefore, he suspected when he says, oh, there's a blemish, that maybe he made the blemish, maybe it's not really a blemish. So therefore, the question they were asking is the halacha like Reb Meir, that regarding kahanim that are suspected regarding blemishes on firstborn animals, that loy donu v'loy me'idoy, and therefore the kohen is not allowed to judge about it, he's not allowed to say testimony regarding it. Or maybe was Reb Yisi ben Zimmer asking Reb Elazar, was maybe the halacha like Reb Shimon Gamliel, dama that he says, no, that neman hu al shel chaver, he is believed regarding the blemish of his friend, let's say testimony that he knows this is a blemish, he's just not believed regarding himself, because his own finances, yes, then we're suspicious about the kohen, but he is believed regarding other people. That was the question that was asked, and partially, and that's what was resolved, the halacha follows the kibshim gamliel, and that a kohen is believed regarding another kohen's mum in his bechar. And therefore, again, there's no raya regarding the halacha of a zakim yeshiv yeshiva, because that wasn't the question. Maybe the halacha would be that a zakim yeshiv yeshiva does not need rishus to go ahead and decide this halacha. It was regarding a kohen, regarding a mum of another kohen, is he believed, and that they decided that actually he is believed. That was the first question asked Rabbi Elazar. But Mesu coming by Elu. Then they asked Rabbi Elazar another question, and that's what's related to our sugya. Mao lotzeis besandal shel, and we continue on to Amud Beis. What's halacha? Is someone allowed to go out with a sandal of sham, of rush, which is a type of reed? But Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur, we know you're not allowed to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. Now, what are considered shoes? Let's say you wear a pair of shoes made out of a certain type of reeds. Would that be asur or mutter? So Amud Reb Yitzchok ben Nachmeni al raglav amasur. Reb Yitzchok ben Nachmeni stood up on his feet and he said, Ani re'isi es Yeshua ben Levi, I saw him. I saw him, Rabbi Shimon Levi, walking with this sandal of Sham on Yom Kippurim. And I told him, what would be the halacha regarding wearing such shoes in a public fast, which is decreed regarding when there's no rains, which the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis tells us that you're not allowed to wear shoes. Would the same thing be, are you allowed to wear sandals of rush then too? Amalei Lishnoi said, there's no difference. These are not considered sandal, they're not considered shoes when it's made out of reed. So Amar Rabba Bar Chana says, similar, he says, Ani re'isis Rabbi Elazar de Meninve, sheyatza b'sandal shel sham b'tainis tzibah. I saw him walking with the sandal of rush on a public fast. And I told him, b'yom kippur ma, what would be the halacha regarding Yom Kippur? Amalei Lashna, again, he said, there's no difference. These are not considered shoes which were forbidden in the Isser of Ne'il sandal. Similarly, we find Rabbi Yehuda Nafik b'dehitne, Rabbi Yehuda walked out with a hitni, which is a different type of rush of the sham. Abayi nafik b'dehutze, he went out with shoes that were made out of palm fronds. Rafik nafik b'deyavle, he went out with shoes that were made out of grasses. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, karuch sudyar karva nafik, he went and he tied a kerchief, rags around his feet, and he went out again. Although these are filling the utility of shoes, but they're not really shoes, and hence they're not forbidden, neither on Yom Kippur, and it's not considered nila sandal, and neither on the Tain Sibur, none of them are included in that Isser. On that Masa Ram Bacham, Ram Bacham asked from a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, which will demonstrate that shoes are anything, even if they're not leather, even if they're not shoes in the classic sense, but if they're being used in that utility, then they should be forbidden on Yom Kippur. As we find as follows. The Mishnah tells us that Hakiteya Yitzhak Bekav Shaloi, an amputee, someone that doesn't have a foot, he can go out with his kav, which a kav is basically a wooden block that serves as an imitation, as a prosthetic, so to speak, for the foot of the Kiteya. So he's allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. The Rebbe Meir holds is no problem on Shabbos. It's not considered like you're carrying a block of wood on Shabbos. This is in the function of like shoes. Rabbi Yisi says it's forbidden. That's because Rabbi Yisi holds it's not a shoe. And the reason is because since it's not fit for everybody, which would be like something which is called shava because everyone wears it, it's not shoes. And that's it'd be like you're carrying in Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it's forbidden to wear that prosthetic, this fake shoe, this foot, this kav, on Shabbos. That's their machlekes regarding Shabbos. However, Tani Allah, we learned regarding that machlekes that they have on Shabbos, v'shavin, but they both agree, sh'asa lotzis by b'yom kippurim, that this kav, this wooden foot, this wooden shoe of the one that doesn't have a foot, is forbidden, according to both of them, to go out with it on Yom Kippur. So the question is, so you see that even though according to Rabbi Yisi, it's not in the classic sense a minal, a shoe, because he says that it's only shoes that you're allowed to wear on Shabbos. You're allowed to wear clothing. Now, why are you not considered carrying clothing on Shabbos? Because you're wearing it, and that's the function of how people go. But if it's something that people don't usually do, that's not considered wearing, it would be considered carrying. Hence, he considers the kav, this wooden foot, this wooden shoe, as carrying. So therefore, we see that he does not consider it, in the classic sense, as a minal, as a shoe. Yet still he agrees that it's usher to wear it on Yom Kippur, because it's still serving in the function of a shoe. And hence we see that the same thing should apply to Sham, to Rosh, all these different cases, because we see that he considers it forbidden in the sense of, yes, on Shabbos it's not considered a shoe, hence you're carrying, but on Kippur it's considered a shoe. And therefore we see even though something that's not minal in the classic sense will be considered a minal, a shoe, on Yom Kippur. So therefore, how do we have all these other opinions that we see they went out with this type of shoe and this because it's not a shoe, let's say a leather shoe, and they were made out of grass or palm fronds or rush? It doesn't make a difference. We see that everyone agrees that these are considered shoes for Yom Kippur. So Abaye, Abaye says that Hassam, over there where it was forbidden to wear this wooden shoe on Yom Kippur, is the Ispa Kasisin, is because there were these torn pieces of garments, these rags, which would make it easy for him to put his stump inside of there. And the reason is, Mishum Tainig, the reason why that's us, according to everyone, Rabbi Yisi and Rabbi Meir on Yom Kippur, is not because it's the etzim, it's like the actual kav, that wooden shoe is considered a shoe. It's because of the pleasure that's being derived by having the rags inside of it. That is the Tainig in this context that's being over on the Einig of Ne'ilas HaSandal. So therefore, it's not shoes. Wearing palm fronds or grass as shoes, they're not shoes, as we see regarding the Kavan Shabbos, where Rabbi Yisi says, not shoes. And therefore, the same thing applies to Yom Kippur, it's not shoes. Now, although they both agree that Yom Kippur would be forbidden as shoes, that's because this Kav has an added dimension of the rags inside of it, which now make it comfortable. Hence, you're having the comfort of what is forbidden of the Inu of Ne'ilas Sandal, that's why it's Aser on Yom Kippur. And therefore, it's not difficult, according to all the other opinions, that they would wear all these other types of reeds type of shoes. However, only Rava asked an Abaya. He says, he doesn't understand Abaya's teretz. He says, V'ilav manahu, if you're not considering this block of wood as an actual utensil, as a shoe, and therefore that's what you're trying to answer, that no, these are not shoes, and reeds are not shoes, and even wood is not shoes. But then, kisisin mashvi le'mana, do the rags make the wood into a shoe? The iser is ne'ila sandal. Moreover, we find regarding the halachas that they were discussing there in Masechta Shabbos that it is on some level going to be mekabel tumah. Now, if you're not considering it as a utensil, as a shoe, it's just the rags that fills that component. How could the rags make it into a shoe? Void, moreover, kol tainig delav minelhu, regarding any pleasure that's not a shoe, because you're not really considering the wood a shoe, b'yom kippur mi aser, is it forbidden on Yom Kippur to wear something on your foot that gives you pleasure but not functioning in the format of a shoe? But v'arabi bar avuna havakarach sudria akari v'nafig, he would wrap kerchiefs around his foot and would walk out, and no one had a problem with that. We see that, obviously, that since it's not a shoe, although, yes, it's giving him pleasure and it's serving in that function, it's not going to be aser. V'oid, another question. Meliktani Sefer, from the fact that we learn at the end of that Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, where Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Meir argue regarding going out with this kav on Shabbos, it says, "Im yesh loy beis kibul kasisin." However, if it has a receptacle for rags inside, in other words, there's a hole, there's a kli kibul inside the block of wood, then tame, then it's going to be mekabel tuma, because it's not what's called pshute kliyets. It's not a flat piece of wood, which is not mekabel tuma. If it has a receptacle, then it's something that's considered kli and it can be mekabel tuma. Now that Rava says, mechlal, that, so we could infer duration, that obviously the first half of that Mishnah, which is where Meir and Rishi are arguing, is lav b'dis like kasisin askin. Obviously it's talking about that there are no rags. Now, that's not like Abaye, because according to Abaye, the whole reason why we were saying that it's something that is going to be forbidden in Yom Kippur, although on Shabbos they argue regarding you're allowed to use it or not, is because there are rags inside, which then make it then serve the function of an ilah sandal, which is aser on Yom Kippur. But it sounds like from the Sefer, not like that, because the Sefer is introducing this concept. Sounds like up until now we didn't talk about the concept of kasisin. And therefore, we're back to the question. It sounds like that it's forbidden to wear a kav on Yom Kippur. It sounds like that it's actually considered a mana, like utensil, like a shoe. And therefore, how did all the other Meruam wear these shoes of reeds or palm fronds or grass? If we see that if it serves that function, even though it's not in the classical sense a shoe, like Rashi Rabbeisi actually says that you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos because it's not a shoe, yet on Yom Kippur, anything that even is closely imitates that will be aser. So Elam Rava, rather Rava says a different approach. Says, La'olam dekuliyama minhu. The truth is, everyone agrees that the kav is considered a shoe. And therefore, you're right. On Yom Kippur, it would be forbidden. The wooden shoe is a shoe. However, these other types of shoes made out of grass or palm fronds or reeds, they're not considered shoes. U'b'Shabbos b'Hakapligi, regarding Shabbos, was a separate machlokes. And that is Marsava, Rabbi Yisi held, Gazrinan Dilma Mishtamid. Rabbi Yisi was concerned that not because they were defining if it's a shoe or not, everyone agrees it's a shoe. In other words, the whole question of the Gemara was to show this discrepancy of that you could see something is not called a shoe, like on Shabbos, Rabbi Yisi is not holding it a shoe. That's why it's forbidden to walk out like you're carrying. Yet on Yom Kippur, he is saying it's forbidden. Must be that even a non-shoe is still in the category of shoe for Yom Kippur. And therefore, how can you go out with these reed shoes or these grass shoes? They're all forbidden. And then Rabbi is saying no. Rabbi Yisi holds that it is a shoe. And therefore, you're right, it should be permitted on Shabbos, but that's what the Gemara is clarifying right now, is he's just concerned that it might fall off. Vasla tui dal amas, you might just come to carry it, dal amas and rishus ram, because this is not a regular shoe that you tie on, it's just a block of wood that the stump goes on. Since it might fall off, and you might come to carry it, that's why it's forbidden. Umar sabalai gizrin, but you may hold, no, we don't make such a decree, and therefore you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. However, this does not reflect regarding our halacha that we said that you're allowed to walk out with shoes made of rush or grass or different types of reeds, because that they are not shoes. And therefore, yes, although we said what we're introducing from our Gemara is that not only is leather shoes shoes, but wooden shoes are shoes, and that everyone agrees to that they're considered shoes, even Rabbi Yisi. But the reason on Shabbos you're not allowed to is because it might come to fall off. And therefore, Yom Kippur, since it's a shoe, it's forbidden. However, regarding reeds and all those other things, they're not shoes, and therefore they will be permitted to be used on Yom Kippur. Now the Gemara continues on a different topic regarding the halacha of these five inurim regarding how they relate to children. So Tanya Rabbanan, learn the Braisa. Tinaikis mutarin bekulan. Children are permitted in all the different inuim, the afflictions of our Mishnah. They're allowed to eat, they're allowed to drink, they're allowed to bathe, they're allowed to anoint themselves. Chutz min ilas sandal, except for wearing shoes. So that the Gemara asks, Maishna Nils HaSandal, why would shoes be different? Obviously, it would seem, De'amri Inchi Abdilu, because people are going to say, oh, who ties on the shoes of kids? Must be their parents. The adults went and tied it on. Now, what's wrong with adults tying on their shoes? Now, there's something called Maris Ayin, that it looks like an Isser was violated. Now, what would be the violation if the parents had tied on the shoes of the children? And that is because although children themselves are allowed to eat and drink and do all these things on Yom Kippur, however, they are things that are forbidden. And therefore, there's a prohibition that's brought down in the Gemara elsewhere that adults, although they might not have to stop children from doing an Isser, they're not allowed to go ahead and do the Isser for them. They cannot actively help them violate the Isser. As the Gemara says in Masechta Sivam, Daf Kaf Aleph and Aleph, that says in the Pasuk, Loi Soichlum, you shouldn't eat anything that's forbidden. On that, the Gemara darshans, Loi Sachilum, you should not feed them, which is Lahazar Gedoyl Malakatanim, to warn the adults, they shouldn't go ahead and actually feed the child what's forbidden. You might not have to stop them, but you're not allowed to actively feed them. And therefore, regarding shoes, if we let children wear shoes, everyone's going to realize that it's the adult that did it. Now, if they realize, in other words, they might assume that, and if they do, then people will think that the adults violated that Isser of Loi Sachilim, of doing the Isser for the child. So although you don't have to stop the child, but in this case, it would seem like the adults did it for the children. So that the Gemara asks, so then Hanach Nami Amri Inchi Abdilu. So then why don't we say the same thing also? When we see the child that's bathed and he's anointed and he's coming out on Yom Kippur, we're going to say, wait, who gives the child a bath? The adult. Why don't we say there's also that concern? So that the Gemara says, no, because Rechitza V'Sicha, regarding bathing and anointing, Imer Me'ed Mol Abdilay, the people are going to say, oh, he bathed yesterday, just he looks fresh, he didn't get dirty yet, but they bathed him and anointed him yesterday before Yom Kippur. So then the Gemara asks, Sandal Nami Emet Mol Avdile. So why don't you say the same thing with shoes? Maybe they tied his shoes on from every Yom Kippur and it's still tied on from the day before. And that the Gemara says, no. Sandal Loi Efsher the Me'et Mol Avdile. It's not possible that the shoes were tied on from the day before and that the child slept all night with his shoes on his feet. The Amash Mul, because Shmuel said, Haiman de Boy Lemitim Taima de Misusa. If somebody wants to taste the taste of death, he should tie on his shoes on his feet and go to sleep wearing shoes. And that's dangerous. And therefore, no one will think that it was tied on from the day before because no one goes to sleep with shoes on. And therefore, it would be obvious it was done today. And that's the difference why shoes are different, because it would be obvious that the adults went and violated this Isra of actually feeding the prohibition, which are the wearing of shoes, by tying it on them. And that's why that's the exception. But on that, the Gemara asks, but Vumitarn liketchila ketani. L'chayr, it seems like we can't say what we just said, because the Gemara tells us that if the person, someone's coming to ask a shaila, and he's asking, could I have my child eat and drink and bathe and anoint? And we tell him, you can go ahead and let him eat, and you could bathe him, you could do all these different things. And that's in spite of the fact that we know that they're being done today, because people are asking, can we do it? And we say, mutar l'katchila, go ahead and do it. So obviously, it's not because it's not obvious. Even if it's obvious, even if we see that they're doing these things and they're doing it for the child, we see that's not forbidden. So again, so then what's the difference with shoes and all the other things? Because obviously we're not concerned that people might think or see, because we actually say, mutar l'katchila, you could go ahead and feed him on Yom Kippur. Now what do you mean? You're violating, these things are forbidden by feeding the child on Yom Kippur. So therefore the Gemara gives a different answer. Ela hanoch delav rifi sayu. Regarding, for example, shoes, which are not necessary for the development of the child, Gazu Buhu Rabbanan. That Rabbanan made a decree and said that regarding the Isurim, which these goes into halachas of chinuch, and things that are prohibited even for a baby, which is, if this is something that's forbidden, then it's forbidden. You can't give it to them, so you can't do the shoes for them. And therefore, you can't let them wear shoes. Hanach de Rabbi Sayuhu, however, regarding these elements of anointing and eating and bathing, all these things which they're necessary for the development and the growth of the child, Lo Gazer Buhu Rabbanan. That Rabbanan not making the decree, they didn't say that that's forbidden to be done on Yom Kippur. Dama Balak Abaya said, the Amar Li Ei, my mother told me, Revise Dinuka, regarding the development of the child, there are certain things that are necessary and integral, and therefore, although there's halachas of chinuch and of not letting children do things that are forbidden, however, things that go into the development of the child are necessary, and we don't say the halachas of chinuch apply. And therefore, regarding these elements, we let them do on Yom Kippur. And there's no problem, there's no isser even in the first one, even if we see that it's being done. For example, Mai Chamim, he said, warm water to bathe the child, umishche, and oil to anoint, it's necessary when the child is young for their development. Gadol Purta, when the child gets a little bit older, Beyasa Bekutcha, it's necessary for him to have eggs with the kutach dip. Gadol Purta, when he gets a little bit older, Tavuri money. He needs to have vessels to break. And that is, you have to give him vessels that he's allowed to go ahead and do whatever he wants, his heart's desire, and smash the couch and break things. He needs it as part of his healthy development. As the Gemara says, Kiyad Rabba, actually, like Rabba used to do, Zavan lehu money gizi de pachra libnei. He would go ahead to the store, go to the flea market. He would purchase broken vessels made out of earthenware that were very cheap. And his children would go ahead and break it because it's a healthy development for the child. And that's why it's not that we don't have to stop the child. It's actually permitted for these things, the mutar and the ketchila, for eating, drinking, bathing, anointing. However, shoes, which are not necessary for the development of the child, there we were guys and we said that the child should not be wearing shoes on Yom Kippur, and those do go into the halachas of chinuch. Now the Gemara continues with the halachas of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that although it's forbidden to do rechitza on Yom Kippur, however, hamelech v'hakala yirchitzes penem, the king and the bride are allowed to wash their face on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, mas nitin mani, who is the town of HaMishnah? Reb Chananya ben Tradin here, the town like Lunda Braisa, says hamelech v'hakala, regarding a king and a bride, lo yirchitzes penem, the Tanakhama holds they are not allowed to wash their face. They are allowed to wash their face. Similarly to the, regarding the other halacha of our Mishnah, the Brisa also brings down that Hachai Loitin Lesasan. The Tanna Kama holds that a woman that gave birth is not allowed to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. Now the woman that just gave birth is allowed to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. Now the Gemara asks to understand Rabbi Lezer's halacha. My time, what's the reason why a king and a bride are allowed to wash their face on Yom Kippur? Why isn't that a problem of rechitza? So that the Gemara says, melech mishum dechsev, regarding a king, the reason is, as it says a pasuk in Yeshaya, that melech biyofyoy, the king in his beauty, techazene necha, your eyes should behold, there's an integral component for a king to be beautiful. And therefore, the king is allowed to wash his face on Yom Kippur because that's necessary for the halacha of melech biyofyoy. Similarly, kala, my time, what's the reason why a bride is allowed to wash her face on Yom Kippur? Kadesh le'tiskan al baila, so that she shouldn't become disgraced in front of her husband. He's going to see her with this face that's not washed off, and therefore it was necessary and it was allowed even on Yom Kippur. On that, the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav le'Reb Chiya, so Rav said to Reb Chiya, so kala ad kama, how long is she considered a bride for her to be able to wash her face on Yom Kippur? So Amalei said, kiditan, like learn the brisa. Now this brisa is regarding halacha. In the case of, for example, let's say all the meat was slaughtered, all the meat was there on the tables already, the wine was already poured and it was already mixed, and the father of the groom or the mother of the bride passed away. So what do you do? Everything, if you're going to have avelas, so then all the food's going to go to waste because it's slaughtered already and it's out there and they already diluted the wine, which will not hold for a long time. So halacha is, the Braisa says, that they take the corpse, the dead body, they bring it into a separate room, the bride and the groom go to the chuppah, they have their first matter relations, then they separate, and then they bury the person that died, and then they mourn. So the Braisa there says similarly that ein moinin takshita min akala, we do not hold back from the bride because of the halachas of avelus of mourning. Kol shleishim yoyim, all 30 days, she's allowed to wear jewelry. Now, although generally one is not allowed to, and it goes into the, you know, put on makeup and all these different things, it goes into halachas of avelus. However, under the circumstances, we allowed it for the first 30 days. Now, obviously, you see that for 30 days, the bride has to be beautiful in the eyes of the groom, and therefore the same halacha applies to Yom Kippurim, that a kala, for the first 30 days, is allowed to wash her face, kadesh le'tizgana al baila. Now, the other halacha that the bride brought down was, Rabbi Elazar said, hachaya tinol esasan l'b'shem tzina, that the woman that just gave birth is allowed to put on shoes because of the cold, that it will be harmful for the woman that just gave birth, and therefore she's allowed to put on shoes in Yom Kippur. Now, similarly, Omer Shmuel says, im machma sakonis akriv, if the reason why one would want to put on shoes is because of the danger of a scorpion, that's a place where you're concerned that the scorpions, then mutter, then everybody is allowed to put on shoes, again, because of the danger of scorpions, similar like we have for the halacha of a woman that just gave birth, because of the cold, she's allowed to put on shoes on Yom Kippur.